Welcome to the Fellowship of Christian Believers at Bowmansville. We're glad you're here, and we are here as well to be reminded that we are called by God and sent into the world around us with the good news of Jesus. And regardless of whether or not it's dreary outside, we can certainly be cheery in here and carry that good news with us. This morning is Life Celebration Sunday, something that we do several times a year. And one of the purposes for that is to highlight and provide opportunities for the gifts of others beyond the leadership team as we worship and as we learn together. So as you may be aware, our pastors are at their annual retreat. It's something very important for their relationships, for their refreshment, as well as in aligning leadership direction as they provide guidance to the congregation. And so I would invite you, as we prepare to enjoy and share in worship together, to join me in prayer. Lord God Almighty, you are holy and righteous, and we are grateful that you recognized our need and that you loved us before we first loved you, in fact, while we were still enemies of the cross. And we thank you for the gifts and the talents and the resources that you pour into us and that you gave to our leaders who guide and direct us and challenge us and encourage us. We ask that these gifts and talents and the things you poured into us would overflow like a spring of refreshing water into the lives of others around us. And we want to honor you today, and we need your help to do that today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we will continue with the focus on our spiritual gifts, and the worship team will lead us in singing. I will note that you might find post-it notes at each end of your bench. Keep an eye on them. Don't use them all up with kids entertaining, because you'll need them for later this morning. So at this time, I'll turn it over to the worship team. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I invite you to stand for worship this morning, if you are able. And all except for one of the songs that we're going to sing this morning, they've been used throughout this series on spiritual gifts. So you've sung these all before.
Father of mine, you be mine in your children. Father of mine, you be mine in your children. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Every good thank you.
to tell the story. Next song, I Speak Jesus. I want to focus on the chorus and singing about the power, the healing, the life that is in the name of Jesus. And the same Holy Spirit that Jesus drew his power from is the same Holy Spirit that gives us his power today and that lives inside of us. So I just... we'll sing a little bit more about that later on.
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you for this morning and just pray your touch upon this service this morning. We just thank you for the gifts that you have bestowed upon us, and we pray that we would always use them for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
Okay, well, Keith is the moderator for this morning's service, but I just wanted to kick off the sharing about gifts this morning, and I'm actually reading this on behalf of my wife, Mary. See, I guess would rather that I be up here than her. That is not her gift. Anyway, she says that each of the gifts can be summed up as serving the Lord, and I believe mine is giving with some serving, although I get tired of the daily serving in my own housework. I feel motivated to give, to help if there's a need, and have to thank my mom for being a great example of loving, giving, and serving, being sensitive to those who had a hard time, sacrificing out of her own needs to bless others. Even at Fairmount, she often helped other residents when she was in better health. Being in the kitchen isn't my comfort zone, and thinking of daily meals doesn't come easy for me. So when Darlene asked me to help with a funeral meal, I said I'll try it. Maybe never again, but I'll try it. To my surprise, I greatly enjoyed it. All I do is show up and help, no planning or shopping. It's a joy to see people we don't often see, and it's a good way to know people better as we work together in the kitchen. She also says, I've never been a big talker, so maybe it comes easier for me to just be there for someone when there are no words, but just a hug, a hand to hold, or my company is all I can offer. And she says, I'm going to take this chance to mention a need. The nursery needs volunteers since they're only staffed every other Sunday right now. So if you're willing to give it a try, contact Stacy Martin. And you'll get to play with wonderful little people like our granddaughter, Kinsley. So.
Thanks, Jeff, and thanks, Mary, for sharing those words and the free advertisement space there for a place we have need. So there's two objectives for this morning that you'll be hearing woven throughout the various parts of the things you'll be hearing. One is consecration of our gifts. So consecration, one of those big long words you read a lot about in the Old Testament, particularly in like Deuteronomy, the Israelites were always consecrating something. God's asking them to consecrate things, things we don't really do in custom today. But it is important that we consecrate the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us to him for his use. And so the word consecrate means devoting or setting apart something to the worship or service of God. So we can think of ourselves doing that ourselves, or maybe a part or an attribute or something that we have or that we bring with us as a gift. And then the second objective that we want to focus on is encouragement. Encouragement to discover and use our gifts that God has given us and to do so wisely. And some of you have the gift of encouragement, and that's a special gift in that as you think about other people around you, your encouragement of them as they're learning or exploring their gifts, sometimes maybe even a little clumsily, your encouragement to them, especially as young people, as teenagers, or as adults trying new things, is very important. And I want to highlight that because we all have a role to play in welcoming and in honoring those that are unsure of their gifts or exploring them, and they maybe are exploring something that really isn't their gift and they don't do it ever again. And it's our opportunity to extend grace and to help them through that. So I was thinking back over the first things and times that I heard about spiritual gifts, and that there was these like unique qualities that God gives to each person. And so I appreciate the early teaching that I received as a teen and young adult here at Bowmansville and in an Eastern Mennonite Missions summer program, as well as the opportunity to explore and learn and try different things and various ministry aspects, some of which you might have suffered through. So apologies now if I hadn't offered them in the past. But in preparing for this morning, I found two spiritual gift assessments, one from 1989 when I was 17 years old, and another a year later when I was 18. Yes, I do file things away. Both of those things, and I'm related to Wilmer Nault, by the way, as you well know. So if both of those assessments, though, indicated serving as the strongest gift and mercy as the weakest, very down here, trailing. Interestingly, within that span, the gift of administration rose quite a bit into a strong number two position, and that knocked giving back into third place. It sounded like a horse race or something. It's really not. So today, you might not be surprised to know that administration or leadership, depending how you define it, is the strongest gift that shows through, followed by giving with service and teaching tied for third. So disappointingly, that recent assessment I took did not reveal that I've improved in showing mercy. And that's not Rhonda's strength either. So please keep praying for our children. I'm sure they need it. We hope they're not scarred too badly. But I think they're mostly on the right track to the best of our knowledge. If you know differently, talk to them and us. But at this time, I'm going to invite Derek Weaver to come and share some of the responses that you've given through the cards and the notes that you wrote about spiritual gifts, followed by Donna Horst and then Leonard Weaver sharing personally. And then Emma Musser will follow up reading some more of your responses. Derek?
Yeah, so thank you to all who took the time to write down some of your spiritual gifts, maybe how you discovered them, how God works through you, and how you use those gifts. It can probably sometimes feel like boasting, maybe, to write down, oh, this is my gift. I'm going to put it in the box, and they're going to share it on Sunday morning. But really, all these gifts, none of us have power to do on our own. These are gifts given to us by God, so this is not boasting by anybody. Paul, in his letters, if you read them, oftentimes feels like he's boasting. Well, he's not boasting about himself. He's boasting about what God did in him. So thank you to everybody who wrote down testimonies. Sheila Brubaker says, I have used the gift of teaching to teach and lead discussions in Sunday school classes and Bible studies. I have used the gift of administration in work and other tasks to organize details. I've used the gift of giving to make donations, etc. God is able to use gifts of all sizes and can take small amounts and make them great, just like he did with the loaves and fish. Someone else said, my gift is serving. I'm not surprised by that. I tend to do that at my job by asking, how can I help others to make their day go better? I also serve through behind-the-scenes work at church, helping in various tasks. Dwayne Weaver says, teaching and doing premarital counseling are ways that I use the gift of exhortation. The gift of giving comes through giving of what God has blessed us with to church and other places. And visitation is how the gift of pastor is used, and welcoming others to our home for meals is how the gift of hospitality is used. Ann Becker says, I think God has gifted me to discern the spirit of a person or situation, and then with faith to intercede for and take action to serve and help bring about godly change. He has often moved and acted in amazing ways. And another person said, the sermon series has helped me to identify my spiritual gift as giving. I was grateful that there was a block dedicated to a gift of $20,000 for the basement remodel project. It helped me to realize that God has given some people the ability to give gifts of all sizes. Donna.
Well, hello. I am going to be sharing about the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues or spiritual language or prayer language. And I'll be up front, I did not want to do this. I know that this gift is misunderstood, and there's a lot of prejudice against it, and I just didn't want to do it. But Brent encouraged me to do it, and I had another sign, what I believe was from God, and so even though I don't want to do it, I didn't want to do it initially. But I was going to do it out of obedience. But one morning this week, I woke up, and it was like God flipped a switch. All of a sudden, I wanted to share about this wonderful gift with you. I wanted to tell you about how God has used it in my life. I want to encourage you to desire this gift in yours. Some of you fear the misuse of this gift, and all gifts can be misused and have been misused by people. All the gifts have been misused. But I suggest to you that we should not fear the misuse of spiritual language as much as we should fear the missing use of spiritual language. Where is the gift of spiritual language and the other miraculous gifts? Why is it so rare or missing in our congregation? I think that's what we should fear. My own testimony is that after I let go of myself enough, fear of what people would say, or not having enough faith to believe that spiritual gifts, the spiritual language is a thing. After I let go of that enough, and enough to receive the gift of tongues, I found that the other miraculous gifts were more evident in my life, much more strongly than they have been before. When I'm praying in the Spirit, I am speaking a spiritual language, and I have faith. All the miraculous gifts take faith. I have faith that that the Spirit of God within me is praying exactly what I'm supposed to be praying. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to pray exactly what you're supposed to pray? It's awesome. It really is. I'm going to tell you some of my own stories about praying in the Spirit. These are the ones that stand out to me. They're not the ordinary, everyday ones. But I'll tell you the truth, that praying in the Spirit on the ordinary, everyday is pretty awesome, too. But here are some of my stories. One day, it was about 10 or 15 years ago, I don't really know, I was just beginning to use spiritual language. Something happened to me for the first time. I was driving, praying in my spiritual language. I was praying for one of the families in this congregation that was going through some difficulty. And all of a sudden, my prayers began to grow in intensity. My prayers changed. Emotion rose up within me. That wasn't what was on my mind. It was from the Lord. Tears, but not tears of weakness, welled up in my eyes. And I began to pray for this family with a righteous anger that was not my own. Now, when I'm praying in the Spirit, I can stop and I can start when I want. It's not something like takes you over that you can't control. I can control it. And if I had been afraid of this intensity, I could have stopped. But it was part of the battle. And I wanted to pray what God wanted me to pray for this family and how he wanted me to pray. And so I did. And I don't know what the result of that was. But I believe that that day something happened in the spiritual realm for that family. Now I'm going to tell you some stories that I do know the results of. I went to Haiti twice with New Life Mission. And as you know, Haiti has a lot of voodoo and witchcraft going on. And there are times that you can feel it, especially at night when you hear the voodoo drums pounding in the distance. And this story happened one of the last nights of the trip. We had to get up early the next morning to go to the airport to come home. So that night, we weren't staying back in the middle of Haiti in the bush. We were staying at a small resort so that we could wake up early and go to the airport. And I was rooming with Jackie Shirk. And in the middle of the night, and I have this, I have permission to share this story from Jackie. The middle of the night, she woke up violently ill. So ill that she was afraid that she was going to miss, she wouldn't be able to get on the airplane. She was so ill. And we knew that this was a spiritual attack. Now, I have to say this carefully because I don't want to stir up the imaginations of the young among us. She felt something. I'll just say that. I don't want to start, like, if you want to ask me later, you or ask Jackie, but it was a physical, it wasn't the illness, it was something else. She was sure, let's just put it that way, she was sure that this was a spiritual attack. And so we began to pray. We prayed. I prayed in English. Jackie prayed. I prayed in the spirit. We prayed. And sometimes when I'm praying in the spirit, my right arm will shake. I can stop it. I can't start it, but I can stop it if I want to. But I feel like it's part of the battle. And my right arm was shaking. We were praying. And then we had a breakthrough. We felt peace. Jackie's illness dissolved. We felt peace. And before we actually went back to sleep. It's hard to believe after that, but we actually did. But before we went back to sleep, I said to her, you know, something like, you know, I hope it didn't freak you out too much, my right arm shaking like that. You know, I don't really know why it happens. And she said to me, I know why it happens. And I said, well, why? She said, that's your sword arm. I liked that. I liked that a lot. That was my sword arm. I don't know that if it's completely accurate, but I know that that has something to do with the battle. The last two stories I have to do with my oldest son, Tim. Tim and Janelle's first baby, Weston, was quite overdue, and she was scheduled to have labor induced. The induction was scheduled to start at 6 p.m. on May 15th. And having been induced three times myself, I anticipated a long labor for her, especially with her first child, thinking that probably he wouldn't come till sometime on the 16th, or hopefully not the 17th, you know, but it's going to be a while. So at 6:45, 45 minutes after her induction was started, I left to go to prayer group, intending to ask the group to pray with me for them. But during that short trip to church, I felt a strong urge that I should turn around, go home, and intercede strongly for her. And of course, that made fear rise up in my heart. Like, what? Why? What's going on? You know, I began to worry. I was afraid. I turned around, went home, and I began to pray. Pray in the spirit, pray in English. I was praying. But as I was praying in the spirit, find my place here. Yeah, I was filled with joy. Like, I was worried. But when my spirit was in touch with the Lord, I was joyful. I actually couldn't stop smiling. I was continuing to pray, but I could not stop smiling. And this was from God. It was not from me. But what I didn't know was during that time that I was praying, the baby's heart rate had dropped dangerously low. And the medical team had quickly prepped Janelle for emergency C-section. Meanwhile, I'm at home, filled with joy, feeling like I should text Tim. So he gets this thought, he gets this text. I'm going to read it to you, a shortened version of it. From me, he gets this text from me as he's standing outside the surgery doors. He had just watched his wife and unborn child be unexpectedly wheeled away into surgery, and he says that he was more scared than he has ever been in his life before. And then his phone pings, and he gets this text from me and from God. This is what it says. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Tim, I was speaking in tongues for Janelle and you and the baby tonight, and as I was praying, I just couldn't stop smiling for several minutes. It was supernatural. It wasn't natural. My emotion was worry. But when my spirit was in touch with God's spirit, I was filled with joy. Tim, you are about to experience some holy moments. And then a few minutes later, he was taken into the OR to witness the joyful, healthy birth of his firstborn son. I am so grateful that God allowed me that chance to minister to my son at that moment. Last story. But I don't want you to be scared of this gift. This is a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift. 2 months after Tim and Janelle's baby Weston was born, Tim was in a motorcycle accident, and he shattered his left leg, if you see the x-ray, between the leg, between his knee and his ankle. And those first few days, he was in agony. And since Janelle had a newborn, I stayed in the hospital with him overnight for several nights. He needed his leg supports moved often, and he was very restless and in pain. One night when I thought he was finally sleeping, I felt the desire to go pray for him. So I quietly got up, and in the darkness, I held my hands over his leg. And in the barest of whispers, I prayed in the spirit for his leg for a while. And then I quietly got back in my cot, and I tried to sleep until he would next need me. A few weeks afterwards, he told me that he had not been asleep. He had just been laying there with his eyes closed, trying to endure. And he told me that as I prayed, he felt things shifting around in his leg. And today, you ought to see him run. He can fly around the softball bases. He's done 2 Spartan races. And the other week, he stopped in the middle of an 8-mile run to get some water at our house. To God be the glory. If you are interested in praying in the Spirit, in praying exactly what God wants you to pray, in having more power in your life, I hope you talk to me about praying in tongues. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Even get close to top that. Give her a hand. Boy, I really appreciate that, daughter. I really have two children that we were really blessed with. They're involved in the church, and Donna, man, that was a tremendous blessing to me. Well, most of you know me, but the ones that really don't, I was born about a mile from here on June 10th, 1942. And my parents were Clarence and Bertha Weaver. Mom carried me into Church of Weaverland, and I went there for 24 years till we got married. And we went there of all but Ruth. She just didn't seem to like it there. She said, it's too big of a church. People don't get to know anybody, and I guess they didn't make much effort. That's a little hobby. Weaverland wasn't them days. I don't know how it is now. But we started going here off and on, and she liked this better because this church was about the size of one she went to down in Rock Hill, Southern area. And we've been going here for 58 years. I've seen a lot of people come, and I've seen a lot of people go. I've seen a lot of people die, too, and good friends of mine. The last two that I know, well, there's a lot more. Henrik Horning, he was a good friend of mine. He's gone, good old man. And who was first? Clarence, was Clarence first? I'm not sure. I think so. He was a friend of mine. He sang with me in tenor and chorus, males chorus. And then David Call, boy, me and him, he sat behind me every morning and we talked still before church. Ruth used to say, I hear it's too loud, you're too loud. I said, that church ain't started. I said, we just like to talk. And then, I should back up a little bit. I was 14 years old, and most of my friends I went to school with at Breaknock, and most of my friends, I guess we shouldn't have did it that way, but we had a revival meeting, and Alvin Martin talked. And boy, he was a good evangelist. And we decided, I think it was eight of us. That time the church was, the pulpit was that end. I think we were on the second bench in here somewhere. And we were all lined up. And when the invitation came, we all stood up at the same time. And the guy that talked to us afterwards down the basin, he said, Regan's really, you know, honest about this. You know, it didn't look right good, you know. But I do know when I was baptized, I was up in that end, that I wept pretty much. And that's when I received the Lord. And He washed my sins away with his blood. And that's what we're going to sing about. First song is Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Snow, no water found I Now, this I want to sing in memory of my parents. They sung this song at both of their funerals. And I remember when we made arrangements for the funeral, my brother Lester, Miriam, she was a good singer and knew how to play piano and everything. She said, "Why don't we sing a song like this? Is a real good song." And ever since, I really like this song. The City of Light. Let's see them all.
The City of Light at the Sears. Thank you.
Ruth Horst says, I'm not totally certain of my spiritual gift. I realize that when I hear of a friend overwhelmed with their load, that I have an immediate desire to help them. I realize better than I used to that I cannot do all that I want to do. Many years ago, in my 20s, when I was in a group studying spiritual gifts, others identified my gift as serving. I also find satisfaction in sharing lessons and truths I find God is teaching me, as well as listening to another tell her story. Someone else said, my gift that comes natural is service. I'm not exactly sure how I discovered that, but it makes me truly happy after I serve others. Katie Shirk says, prophecy through dreams is one of my gifts. One night, after intently praying for someone to be able to become pregnant, God showed me in a dream this person announcing their pregnancy and saying how far along they were. Weeks later, she did tell us, all on the same weekend in my dream. Debbie Rissler says, one spiritual gift that God has given me is the ability to work with details and organizing through administrative work. Another gift he has given to me is intercession.
Well, thank you very much to all of you for sharing, to Donna and Leonard and Emma, and for those stories that you have shared about how God has gifted you and how you're using that. So over the last few months, our pastors have shared about many different types of spiritual gifts. They've encouraged us to explore, to discover, and most importantly, to use those gifts in service to Christ and his kingdom. So I want to share a few thoughts and maybe prompt your thinking about a few aspects before we wrap up with the last set of songs and an opportunity for you to use those post-it notes there at your bench. So I'd first like to share a few things that were thoughts I noted from John Stallwart, who had a leadership series that I had the privilege of being a part of. And he elaborated a bit on Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork. That means we have God-given value. God doesn't make mistakes and he doesn't make junk. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are not here by accident. We didn't evolve from some ooze and sludge somewhere. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What we do has purpose. Purpose that God has ordained for us to fulfill, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. What I do has great God-given purpose. Not because we're great, but because God is great and he instills his purpose within us. And that's all wonderful and good, and we enjoy that when that works. As Donna mentioned, there are times where there are gifts that are absent. We should be asking questions about that and seeking opportunities to call forth those gifts. There are also times that gifts are misused. And just because a gift is called spiritual doesn't mean that it's immune from that. And God purposely designed or left out parts of our individual capacities so that we are dependent on him and that we're also dependent on each other. You know, just think about if we had all the gifts ourselves, wouldn't it be kind of tempting to maybe depend on ourselves instead of on him or on the people around us? And that is very familiarly described in the one body, many parts passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I would encourage us as well to be careful not to focus on our weaknesses. That's actually kind of silly, because if God didn't put those gifts there, you might be frustrated if you're trying to use them a lot. It doesn't mean we should ignore needs. We can help, but don't try and be somebody else because they have a gift that might not be one that God has particularly given you. But we do read times in Scripture where we are to seek and to practice those gifts. Some things to consider as we think about our gifts. In what ways are we likely to over-exercise our spiritual gifts or maybe use them at times they aren't helpful? If you're not sure about an answer to that, just ask your spouse, a parent, or maybe a co-worker at work. One of the sayings that kind of illustrates that is that to a carpenter with a hammer, every problem is a nail. You beat on it. And something I need to be careful of with my gift of administration or leadership. My brother Myron with whom I'm a business partner and, of course, brother and family member. We plan projects together. And Rhonda, as well, notices this, that sometimes they say, Keith, must every discussion have an agenda or a purpose? Even if I don't write it out, it's up here. It's there. So we need to use discernment in applying our gifts. Just because they're called spiritual, again, doesn't mean that they can't be used to inflict harm, both within or without the body of believers. In fact, Ken Becker noted in preparing for the outline of today's message that there's more text in Scripture that is dealing with and devoted to unity within the body of believers than there is to actually describing what those gifts are. So we need to guard against those things even as we exercise, but as we're encouraging and supporting and admonishing one another, as we're instructed to do, we can work through even those situations where we need to exhibit grace with one another. Ken Eberle actually reminded me, and does so fairly regularly, that God will actually oppose us at times in exercising the very gifts that he gives us if we begin to operate out of our human strength instead of that dependence on him, like Donna described in sharing about her gift. And sometimes it's easy to sit back and think, well, you know, there's somebody else can do it. You know, I have that gift or the ability to meet that need. But if we don't bring our spiritual gifts to the table that God has equipped us to within the body, one body, many parts, who will bring those gifts? In fact, James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. And I believe that God pours out his gifts in our lives and gives us talents that are designed to operate both within and to flow out beyond the church. Some tend to be more focused within the body of believers, and others tend to be more focused externally. But I encourage you to look beyond the arena in which you typically use your gifts and ask God, are there other places where you can use this gift in service to your kingdom? So I encourage you to practice using your gift to extend grace to those who are practicing around us. Learning involves some awkwardness, sometimes mistakes, and it presents all of us the opportunity to live out and to practice the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, like patience and love with one another. So we are now going to present an opportunity for each of you to consecrate your spiritual and your financial gifts in an offering back to God, what he has first given us. So during, as the first song begins to play here, and during the songs, I invite you to come forward. There's post-it notes there at the bench. There's pens at the Connect cards in the back of the bench in front of you that you can write out a gift that you have or something that you would like to offer in consecration to God. I would invite you to bring that up here and post it on the church here behind me. If your mobility is a challenge, there will be energetic youngsters running by you that might be willing to do that for you. And you can also bring your offering up and place it in either of the baskets here at the podium at the front.
Okay, so as we sing these closing songs, first one is All Glory Be to Christ. And we know this, but these gifts are not given to make us look good or to bring glory or honor to us. It's to build up the body of Christ and to give glory to him.
To
Okay, and the next song we're going to sing is Same Power. And I mentioned earlier that we serve the same Holy Spirit that poured himself out on the apostles on the day of Pentecost. That same Spirit lives within us, and the same power comes through him. Now, we don't know how some of the gifts play out, but it is the very same gifts that Paul listed in the scripture. And so let's just sing about that.
Lives in us.
song. And as we exercise our gifts, we need to, above all, always be acting in love. You notice how Paul was talking about gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. And he says, let me show you the most excellent way. And goes into chapter 13, which is all about how we need to love one another. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit.
We will walk.